This Shabbos, we're concluding Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi, and what I want to do this evening is to give a little bit of an overview of one of the, I think, one of the major lessons that emerged from Sefer Bereishis, and perhaps helps us prepare and understand what will occur in Sefer Shemos, and ultimately the history of the Jewish people. Which sounds like a tall task to do in a few minutes, but and then the idea I want to share with you, I think it's pretty much well known. I just want to just flesh it out a little bit more, and just to focus one specific comment that's made in this week's parsha, where I think it surprisingly is raised. The issue is raised once again. So let me explain. So first, this week's parsha. So in Vayichi. So this is first of all, this is the parsha. This is the grandparents' parsha, right? This parsha is bookended by interactions with grandparents and grandchildren. The beginning of the parsha is Yaakov with his grandsons, with Ephraim and Manasseh, which we're going to focus on in a second, giving the blessings. And then at the very end of the parsha, this is not usually emphasized again unless you're paying attention to the parsha. But Yosef interacts, we're told, interacts with his grandchildren. We're told, in fact, that it is the very end of the parsha, very end of a Sefer Bereishis. It says the following: "Vayar Yosef le'Ephraim b'nei Shilishim, gam b'nei Machir ben Menasheh yuladu al birkei Yosef." Interesting. Not only grandchildren, but great grandchildren. Right, for those blessed to have great grandchildren here in the class tonight, right? So not only grandchildren, great grandchildren, because Yosef, his son was Menasheh, his grandson was Machir ben Menasheh, and we're told that Yosef was zocheh, merited to even have a relationship with the children of Machir, the son of Menasheh, and those his great grandchildren. That's very beautiful, very special. This is a part of again, interacting with one's descendants, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So back to the beginning. So the famous interaction with Yosef and Menashe and Ephraim, and sorry, with Yaakov giving the bracha to Menashe and Ephraim, and of course, the Hamalach HaGolah Simi Kol Ra, and then the bracha where, famously, Yaakov switches his hands. And although Menasheh, who's the elder one, the Bechor, is placed on his right side, but Yaakov switches his hand so that his right hand is not placed on the older one, Menasheh, but rather on the older one, on the younger one, Ephraim. And in Jewish practice, philosophy, just in terms of symbolism, right, the right hand is always the hand of strength, the hand of sanctity. The hand of whenever a person's qualities, attributes are it's always emphasize the right hand. So it would make sense that you would put your right hand over the one more deserving, the in this context the older one, and yet Yaakov places the right hand over Menasheh, and the Torah makes a big deal about this. Right? There's a big The Torah makes a very big deal about this entire sequence and this interaction, because we're told the following: we're told that Vayishlach Yisrael Yimino Vayashes Al Rosh Ephraim V'Atzer Yair, right? That Yaakov puts out his hand and he puts it over Ephraim, even though he's the younger one. And just before that, we were told that Yosef positioned the kids. That the elder one, Menasheh, was opposite the right side, and yet Yaakov intentionally switches it so that the right arm is not over Menasheh, but right, the right hand's over Ephraim. And so we're then told, this is the beginning of Shlishi, this is Perek Memches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayar Yosef kishas yashis aviv yadi al rosh Ephraim. Yosef sees what's going on. He can't believe it. He can't believe that his father is placed. His right hand over Ephraim. He's very upset about this. Ra is evil. This is like very bad in his eyes. And interestingly, we're told before that similar to his to Yitzchak, Yaakov's eyes have become dim. So Yosef perhaps thinks at this moment that maybe dad doesn't see so well. So he we're told that he actually moves the hand over. Right? He tries to move the hand from Ephraim's head to back over to Manasseh's head. So the Torah then says, but the father refuses. Right? Yaakov, he may not be able to see so well, but he's fully cognitively aware of what he's doing. But Yomi Yadati, no, I know what's going on. Gamu Yelam, Gamu Yigdal. Manasseh, great things are going to happen for Manasseh, the older son. Ulam, however, Achiv HaKaton Yigdal Mimenu. Nonetheless, the younger son is going to be greater. Right, and then Rashi, the Medrash says, and who ultimately ascends from Ephraim, Yoshua. Yeshua is going to lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel, conquering and dividing the land, perhaps one of the most successful leaders in the entirety of Jewish history. So that's what's going to emerge from Ephraim. So what's interesting here, and then now going back to the larger, I think, message of a safer Bereishis, is that we know in Sefer Bereishis almost always, and it's hard to find an exception, but almost always, it's always the younger brother who exceeds the older brother, right? And that's like an obvious, clear message in Sefer Bereishis. Many people have noted this. Right from the beginning, you're Cain and Hevel. Cain's the older one, and he's the worst one. He's the one who kills kills Hevel. You have Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael's older, but Yitzchak's going to be the one who's going to emerge the greater one. You have Esav and Yaakov. Esav is the older one, but Yaakov is the one who's going to ultimately be the one. In fact, that's the whole prophecy to Rivka, right? Rivka's pregnant, and she doesn't know what's going on. She's not aware that she's pregnant with twins. So what did we know? She goes Lidrosh Hashem to seek out God, and what is she told? Rav Yavod Seir. What's going on? The older one is going to serve the younger one, right? The younger one is going to be greater, and then he just has this whole story with Yosef and his brothers. Guess what? Is Yosef the oldest? And he's down low on the totem pole. He's number 11, right? Reuven is the oldest one, and yet, what happens? Yosef emerges the leader, and even with Leah's children, right? You have Reuven the oldest. Who's going to emerge the leader? Number 4, Yehuda. So there's like this clear progression, and it's this story emphasized over and over again. The Midrashim even talk about, like, when it comes to Avram. So Avram had two brothers, Haran and Nachor. And so there's two schools of thought where Avram falls out. Some say he was the oldest, and some say, no, he was like the younger one. So even for that, perhaps, again, not everyone agrees to that. Again, it's unclear in the Torah, the who's the oldest. Shem, Ham, and Yafet is another example. Right? If I'm not mistaken, like the three sons of Noah, so we all descend from Shem. And he's mentioned first, but if I'm not mistaken, Rashi cites, again, an opinion that he's actually younger. He just mentioned older because he emerged to be the greater one. So, like, there's this clear pattern throughout the Sefer that the younger one is just because you're the older one doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to be the greater one. In fact, you're not almost never the older one, the greater one. And so when I was reading this, what I found kind of troubling is why is Yosef so like upset at his father? Right? He's so upset at his father. Hey, don't you know Manasseh's the older one? Whoa, whoa, Yosef. Are you the older one? Right? You're not the older one, Yosef. And guess what happened to you? You're the one who had the dreams that the older brothers will all bow down to you. So it's like, doesn't Yosef himself get the message? That you don't have to be the older one to be the greater one. And yet, like when it comes to his own kids, he's very offended by it. So the Ramban, I just know the Ramban, picks up on this, or he doesn't actually ask this question. He just wants to know, what does it mean? Why was Yosef so upset? By Yirah HaBeinav, it was very displeasing in his eyes. So he says, he gives two possibilities. Ula Yosef haya oev es Menasha Yosef b'avora yiso b'chor. Could be that Yosef loves Menasha more, his firstborn son. Menasha made him into a father. Maybe he had a very close connection. And in fact, if I remember correctly, in last week's parsha, and it was in Miketz, right, Chazal saying, Rashi quotes this, that Menasha was like his right-hand man. That who was the one who was always, dealing with the brothers, and the one who was told to put the food, extra food in their sacks, and who was the one who hid, the goblet of Yosef in Binyamin's backpack? It was always Menasha. So Menasha worked very closely with his father Yosef. So maybe Yosef had this very strong relationship with Menasha. Lachain Harlo, and therefore it was very upsetting to him that his father seemed to be choosing Ephraim over maybe his more beloved son, Menasha. That's one possibility. So just on a personal level, he found it very hurtful. Then the Ramban says, "Va'nachon be'inai," but to me makes the most sense to understand why Yosef is upset. He just thought the father was confusing the sons. Again, Yaakov couldn't see so well. Vim ha'isa birchaso behem beli das lo savo birchaso aliyam. And he's concerned from a spiritual perspective that if Yaakov doesn't know exactly what he's doing, because if he's thinking he's putting his right hand over Menasha, but really he's putting his right hand over Ephraim, and he's making a mistake, because really he wants to put the right hand over Menasha, according to this. He's just making a mistake, and that's how Yosef interprets this. So then, ki nena bruch hakodesh kiroi. So maybe the blessings would not be fulfilled because, and Yaakov would be mistaken in his thinking. In other words, he's saying that since this blessing was not just a mere cute little bracha, but this was actually a prediction of the future, and it was a prophecy, and it was done with ruach hakodesh, with God's spirit inspiring him and telling him what to say. That if he were doing it wrong, it wouldn't be fulfilled. So Yosef is concerned that he needs to correct his father in order for this bracha to work. He thinks his father's making a mistake. He doesn't realize that he's putting his hand over Ephraim. Really, he meant to put it over Menasha, and that's what he needs to do. So, okay, that could be what Yosef's concern was, but. But at the end of the day, Yosef was wrong, right? At the end of the day, again, Yosef thinks that Menasha, however you understand it, Yosef thought that the bracha should go to Menasha. Or that, again, both of them got the bracha, but the right hand and that loftier spiritual connection, and the one who would be the leader of the family would be the older one, Menasha. Again, I just find it fascinating that Yosef would still entertain that when, again, he himself was the younger one, and he himself had the dream that they had all bowed down to him. So why can't he entertain the possibility that Ephraim would mimic him, mimic the father, and he would be the greater one? Again, it could be because the Ramban's first suggestion was more personal, that Yosef had a stronger connection to Menasha. But however you understand it, what is clear from Sefer Bereishis is that the firstborn doesn't make it. And so it raises two questions. Question number one is, why not? And question number two is, I don't get it. Because, later on in the Torah always makes a big deal about Bechor, about a firstborn, right? The Torah makes a very big deal about Bechor, right? We know that when it comes to Yerusha, when it comes to inheritance, so Bechor gets Pishnayim. Bechor gets double portion. So again, it gives it sounds like the Torah very much is in favor of firstborns. And firstborns should take over. And firstborns are the leaders. And firstborns are awarded this greater portion. Furthermore, next week's parsha, during the course of Hashem's conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, and Hashem, trying to convince Moshe to ultimately take the job and to go to Egypt and to demand the release of the Jewish people. So after Moshe finally agrees to go after the whole long conversation back and forth between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe goes back to Yisro, and his father-in-law just tells him he's leaving, and Yisro blesses him. And then Hashem once more appears to Moshe. Vayom Hashem Moshe. This is in Shishi, next week's Parsha, Shmos. And he says, Amar to El Paro, what should you say to Paro? Ko Amar Hashem, so say God, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. That Israel is my firstborn. So again, firstborn. Again, like emphasizing how important the notion of firstborn is. And then therefore, because God, the Jewish people, God says, is my firstborn, therefore, Vomar Lecha, you'll say to Paro, Shalachat B'nei, send forth my child, my beloved child, send them forth, let them serve me. So, now which one is it? Is the Bechor important or is it not important? Again, I read through the entire Sefer Bereishis, seems like the Bechor is always is a failure. Right, and I get to Shmos, and I get to the rest of the Torah, and Bechor is like so important. So I think, and again, I'm not the first one to say this. I've heard many others suggest this as well. I think the takeaway in Sefer Bereishis is that you don't have to be the firstborn. That it's not based upon birth order in terms of who will be successful. In terms of who will make a difference, who will make an impact. In other words, everyone has an opportunity. Everyone has a chance. And you're not condemned based upon, where you were born and when you were born, but it's based upon what you make of yourself and who you ultimately become. And that's I think a radical message that the Torah is sharing. And maybe it was different based on ancient cultures. That again, it was based upon birth order, in terms of who would be the leader and who would ultimately be the one to take over the mantle of leadership for the family and control things and be in charge of things. The Torah is saying is that no. And in fact, there's a very fascinating Gemara in the Daf Yomi is just learning now in Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara says, why is it that now, this is sometimes true, sometimes not true, but the Gemara says, why is it that Talmidei Chacham, the Torah scholars, that their children don't always become Torah scholars? Again, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. The Gemara seems like taking for granted that it's certainly not guaranteed that just because you're a Talmid Chacham, your child become a Talmid Chacham. And the Gemara explains, and the Mefarshim understand the Gemara this way, because if every Talmid Chacham's child become a Talmid Chacham, so one of two things would happen. Number one, the kid might think I don't have to work at it because it's automatic. Or maybe even worse, everyone else would give up. If my parents are not, most committed Jews, if my parents aren't the biggest, scholars, then, I'm condemned. I can never achieve greatness like the rabbi, like the Rosh Yeshiva, like, head of the kollel, the scholar down the block. So therefore, Hashem created in the system that you're not guaranteed that your children will be, or for everyone else to recognize that it's not about a Yerusha, an inheritance. It's not about the genes, but it's about what the work that you put into it, that everyone can achieve great greatness. So if that's true when it comes to scholarship and it comes to Torah, mastery. So certainly when it comes to our service of God. Certainly that is true as well. Anyone can achieve. Even if you're the youngest of the family, you can ultimately emerge to be the greatest. And on a macro level, what's the message? The message is to the Jewish people, right? That we may be the smallest of the nations, that we may be the weak, in terms of physical strength and things of that nature. That there may be much, larger and greater and powerful nations, the Romans and the Babylonians and, all the other, great nations that were and exist today. But that doesn't mean anything, right? That we, Am Yisrael, can ultimately, it's up to us what we want to make of ourselves, right? That we can still impact and change the world, even though we may be the smallest, even though we may be the youngest. Again, I think that's the overall. There's the message for individuals, but ultimately Sefer Bereishis is giving the message for the Jewish people. You may be the small little people in Egypt, but you can emerge to be this, you know, this great nation, not in terms of numbers, but in terms of impact and influence. So if that's the case, then so what's the notion of Bechor? All right, so what does it mean that the firstborn, and why does a firstborn get a double portion? So it could be. So the joke is, you know, why is the firstborn get a double portion? Because, you know, the parents always mess up with the eldest kid, right? Because, you know, the eldest kid, that's when you're doing, trying to figure things out, and by the time you get to the younger kids, then you finally know what to do. So in order to compensate the oldest one for all the time things that you did wrong with them, you give them a double portion. Okay, so that's the joke. They say in antiquity, the reason why, again, that the eldest one got the double portion was because, you know, someone had to take over the family business. Someone had to run the farm, right? So the eldest one was given that responsibility. And since that was the responsibility, you know, to manage the family business, to the property, so they needed extra funds to be able to do that in order to be able to support the younger siblings, in order to manage the business, to manage the estate, you know. So that's why the Bechor, it was just the system that worked, that the first one was always handed over the reins of, like, from the business perspective. But it doesn't mean that the younger ones can't achieve greatness. It just means, in terms of, you know, who's going to be in charge, it was the Bechor. So if that's true, so I think that's then the notion of B'nei Bechor Yisrael. I'll end off with this. And what does it mean Israel's my firstborn? So on the one hand, we're the smallest of the nations. On the one hand, that we may be few in numbers, but Sefer Bereishis says that doesn't matter. Same reason, you can be the youngest, you can be small, but you can still achieve great greatness. You can still make an incredible impact. But you need to understand that what impact do you have to make? That you have to be like the Bechor, right? The Bechor again, the notion of Bechor, that the Bechor again is the one who takes care of everyone else. Bechor is the one who has the charge, the responsibility to take care of everyone else. And that's what Hashem is saying about the Jewish people, that we are the Bechor for the rest of the world. That our responsibility is to set the tone and to model what it means to be a godly people who follow basic, you know, values and ethics and morality. And when the nations see us, they want to embrace, you know, the values that we have. That's the notion of Bechor. And Bechor, it's not a kavod. It's not an honor. It's a job. It's a responsibility. It's a charge, a task that we are given, but by Hashem to us to represent Him in this in this world. And so therefore it's like this double thing. On the one hand, Bereishis says you might be the smallest, but you can achieve greatness. But because you can achieve greatness, I'm going to make you the Bechor, therefore to act on it and to impact others. And again, just coming back to where I started with, this is just interesting that Yosef, for some reason, even a Yosef can still, like, not totally get that message at the end, or not totally see that, and still think that, you know, Menashe should be the one. And again, it could be based on the Ramban study, they had this close connection to him, or he thought that his father had made a mistake. But Yaakov said that I know exactly what I'm doing. And I know that though Ephraim is the younger one, he's the smaller one, I know that that he's going to achieve, he's going to go farther. He's the one that spiritually is going to emerge as the leader. And again, I just think it's a very powerful lesson that the Torah is giving us as a people, about Am Yisrael, that no matter how small we may be amongst the nations, that doesn't mean anything. It means what we do with ourselves and what impact we make. And then it's just a beautiful message for every yachid, every individual. Birth order doesn't matter. What family you're born into doesn't matter. What city you live in doesn't matter. What school you go doesn't What matters is you. You matter. What you do. What you make of yourself. What you decide to to work at and to accomplish and to achieve. That time and again, that's over and over again emphasized in Sefer Bereishis. Rav Yavod Sa'ir, right? That the older one will serve the younger one, because the younger one has that potential in them. Now again, they can fail too, but it's for us to recognize each of us has the capacity, and God believes in all of us that we all can achieve greatness. We just have to put in the work and effort, and to hopefully allow that to come to fruition. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. This is the Shabbos of Chazak, Venis Chazak. Include the Bereishis, that the strength and strength, and we should be strengthened. That should apply to us as Yechidim, as individuals, and to us collectively as Am Yisrael, as the people of Israel.